pot, pan, and so on.
Therefore, there are two objects which are related to cause and effect. And then, after giving this illustration, Uddalaka tells Svetaketu, look here, that it is only the cause that is real. The effect exists only in words. It's an appearance. So there is a question about the cause-effect relation. It is the clay that is the cause that appears as pot, pan, saucer, and so on. Mrit alone is the reality, the cause is the reality. The effect exists only in name. Vacharam vanam vikaro namadeyam mrittiketyeva satyam. Mrit, he gives the example. Cause here, mrit is alone real. That means generally cause is real. And then, he gives several examples, not just one. And then he formulates the thesis. So you have got a promise or assurance, you have got illustrations, and then the conclusion that he draws from that is that this ultimate reality is ekam eva advitiyam. Ekam eva advitiyam. Compare this with the Rigveda text, Nasadiya Sukta. Tadekam. Tadekam. Now you find an elaboration of that. Ekam eva advitiyam. One, only, and not two. Now this text is an elaboration of the Rigvedic mantra. There are in this text there are, you will note, three words. Ekam, one. That is evakara, emphasis, only, without a second, advitiyam. Why? Why is it that the Upanishad is satisfied by saying just one? Why it makes an emphatic particle, only, one only? Then adds to that, without a second. In the text, we don't know. But we should have the assurance that not a single word, not a single particle will be used by the Upanishad without any purpose. There must be some reason for the Upanishad using that one. This kind of a formulation, ekam eva advitiyam. It doesn't stop with tadekam, that is one. This one is how? It is one only. Further, it says without a second. It is here that the commentator is helpful. Unaidedly with your mental speculation, cognitive exercise, you will not be able to know that. Here is a person who holds your hand and says, come, I will show the way. This is the way you will understand. And therefore, Shankara says, if you look at the things of the world, you find that there are three kinds of differences. Objects in the world are manifold. Now there are three kinds of differences we notice. The first is sajadi, sajadiya beda. The second is vijadiya beda. The third is swagada beda. Take for example two coconut trees. Both are coconut trees, therefore they belong to the class of coconut trees, same jati. But still one is short, the other is long. Tall. One can give coconuts in 3 years, the other can give only in 5 years. Many differences you can notice. Even though they belong to the same class, sajati, but there is a difference. Sajati, sajati, abeda. Consider another case, a stone and a piece of wood. They belong to two different classes, vijati. But still they are different. You won't say the same or the both are identical. So, there are objects which belong to the same class with the differences. Objects which belong to different classes with the differences. And the third is swagata veda, internal differentiation. If you take, for example, a tree, tree is one, organically it is one. But there is Swagata Veda, there is a root system, there is a trunk, there are branches, leaves, and so on and so on. The one can be divided into the many. This is what is called internal differentiation or Swagata Veda. If you take, for example, any object, it is a substance, dravya, it has got the quality or the guna, dravya guna veda is there. Dravya, it may belong to jati also is there. Vaisheshika system is very helpful here. Therefore, we notice three kinds of differences: sajadiya veda, vijadiya veda, swagata veda. All these three kinds of differences are denied by the three words that we have in Upanishads. Ekam eva advitiyam. Ekam, when it says ekam, sajadiya veda is denied. The emphatic particle eva denies vijadiya veda. Advitiyam denies Swagata Veda. Imagine an object which is free from all the three kinds of differences. What it could be? It should be Nirguna, it should be Nirvisesha, it should be non-relational. This is what the Upanishad elsewhere says, Asangokyayam Purushaha. This Purusha, this self, is Asanga, non-relational. There is no relation with anything whatsoever. That means the Upanishad, the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, it tries to convey the truth, namely, that this supreme reality referred to in the Svedasvatara Upanishad, what is the ultimate source? The supreme reality is such that it is free from all qualities, all specifications, all relations. Such an entity can be only Nirguna, Nirvisesha. This is what the Upanishads try to convey. And the same reality is referred to in the Madhyamika tradition as Shunya, because it is free from all these specifications, all the categories of understanding. Then how do we understand this reality? How can we approach this reality? The Upanishad suggests two kinds of methods, objective method and subjective method. Objective method is by means of cause effect relation analysis, karya karana vichara. Where will you start? You must start with the things of the world. Analyze the things of the world. Every object requires a cause. That is one way by means of which we explain anything. If somebody asks what is that, we say that it is a chair. It is made of wood. What kind of wood? Now, it is not enough if I say that wood is the cause of this object. What is the cause of wood? There is a further inquiry. What is the cause of that? So if you go on putting questions about the cause of everything, then we have to arrive at something ultimate and say, this is the first cause. When we say first cause, it seems to be arbitrary, because a cause-effect relation is a series, you say. If it is a series, it should be unending. If it is unending, you have the problem of you have the problem of what we call infinite regress. In Sanskrit we say anavastha dosha. Infinite regress. There is something wrong. And therefore, in order to solve the problem of infinite regress, you say I will stop somewhere. You say I will stop at the first cause. Something you say is the first cause. It is arbitrary. Because all you can say is, for the first cause, because you say it is the first cause, don't ask the question, what is the cause of the first cause? Aristotle postulated first cause. In our tradition also we say the first cause, But in the Advaita tradition they say, instead of the cause, they use the word ground. They want to escape from this cause of it. Problem because of the difficulties, inbuilt difficulties in the very argument. So, the objective method, through cause of it relation analysis, it leads to the ultimate source of everything, beyond which we cannot proceed. Our reason breaks down at a particular point of view. We say, yes, that beyond which we cannot go, that is what we call this Brahman or being or the ultimate, call it by any name you like. Conventionally we say it is God, Ishvara. Now, in addition to this objective analysis, we have that this kind of an objective analysis in many Upanishads. The famous is one, the Taittiriya Upanishad. It gives the theory of creation, how everything came out from this Brahman. It starts from the top to the bottom, suggesting this method of analysis. And it also proceeds from the top and then gives the result. The result is, starts from Brahman. Brahman is the ultimate reality. Brahman with apnoti param, it makes assurance. And then in tasmatva etasmat atmanaha, it tries to explain Brahman. Immediately it makes a shift and says, tasmatva etasmat atmanaha akasaka sambhudaha. That means that Brahman is this self, the Brahman, that is this self. Well, you see the demonstrative pronoun. Tasmat, yetasmat. For this grammar is necessary. If you have some background with regard to the knowledge of the language, you can understand why the Upanishad uses tasmat, now yetasmat. Side by side it uses tasmatva yetasmat. That is this Atman, that is that Brahman. He was talking all the time about Brahman. All on a sudden there is a shift. The shift is, here you notice in the sentence, tasmatva etasmat atmanaha akasaka sambhudaha akasat vayuhu vayor agnihi and so on. It gives the five elements. All the five elements it traces from the self which is identical with Atman. So the question is asked very often, where is this Brahman Atman identity? Here is that. If you know the language, you can appreciate this point, because when you read blindly the English translation, you can say, oh, it says it uses two, even that we don't pay attention to, because we don't know clearly what is demonstrative pronoun. That is the kind of the language equipment we have, even with regard to English language. You ask many people, they can speak English, write English, that is something different. You ask the question, can you teach English grammar to your 10th class student? Are you sure about what you teach? No. That's why yesterday I said that Shankara says, well, he pays attention to pada, vakya and pramana in writing the commentary. What Carnap calls syntax, semantics and pragmatics. When Carnap says about syntax, semantics and pragmatics, we worship him. Oh, look here. Wonderful. That wonder is there in Shankara. He goes unlistened to, because it is in Sanskrit. You just read the translation. You don't know anything. Because already with a prejudiced mind, you look at this one. Scripture means, what is that? This what is that attitude will not help you to understand anything. It should be with the assumption that it contains something worth knowing. You read, then finally reject. But don't reject without reading. Bishop Berkeley, who formulated a very radical philosophy at the time, though an empiricist,
He knew that it would provoke all kinds of criticism, opposition. Because he developed a kind of subjective idealism, denying objective reality, though an empiricist. He says, master the whole before you censure the part. Study the whole. Read my entire exposition. Then you pass a judgment. Don't read just one chapter or even one, two or three paragraphs to say it doesn't make any sense at all. Ayer was impatient in the name of analytical philosophy. Wonderful language. I don't question the kind of analysis, excepting to say that it is a distorted. In fact, Walsh, who wrote a book on metaphysics, he says he doubts very much whether these analytical philosophers have studied any philosopher completely. Because if they pick out a sentence and then begin to analyze piecemeal, that will not give you the truth. So Shankara says that I am going to follow the method followed by my ancestors. When? We don't know. He says, I will pay attention to Pada, Vakya and Pramana. And if you pay attention to Pada and Vakya, you will notice this idea, Tasmatva, Etasmati, Tasmati, then immediately Etasmati. In English, this is what we call put in apposition. Put in apposition, APPO, Samanadigaranya Prayoga, in Sanskrit. We don't know what is put in apposition. Look at the grammar, run grammar. What is put in apposition? Grammatical coordination. If you know that kind of a syntax, not merely the syntax which Karnam speaks about, that syntax, if you know, then you can understand why the Upanishad says, because it started telling about Brahman, all on a sudden it changes into Atman. Why? To show that it is changing, it says, Tasmatva, it is from that Brahman. Then what is that Brahman? That is this Atman. Tasmatva, Etasmati. Atmanaha. It immediately says, Etasmati, after putting that demonstrative pronoun, Atmanaha, from the self, came Akasha. Akashat Vayuhu, Vayuhu Ragnihi, and so on and so on. How wonderful it is. Because your analysis, cause effect analysis, will go from the bottom to the top. And assuming that you have done that one, it starts from the top to the bottom. Then you read Shankara's commentary. And it says that immediately after talking about the Oshadi and all that one, it says the Purusha came. And why is it has jumped in the evolution? It must give one by one. He says, I am not interested in giving the evolutionary order. There is such a thing as the evolution or the development. What happens? The picture is now dramatic. It talks about the Purusha. Why? All on a sudden, talking about the five elements and the ocean and the herbs, immediately it doesn't make any reference to any of the animals. Immediately the Purusha. Why? Shankara asks the question, why? Because the human being in the evolutionary scheme is so important. Because he has got the person, Purusha, it is applicable to both men and women. There is no gender bias here. The woman is Purusha and the man is Purusha. That's why we say he implies she. Now deliberately instead of he, we first of all write she. And the Upanishads are not concerned here with the gender problem. Purusha is the human being. The Purusha has got jnana karma adhikara, eligibility for knowledge and the eligibility for performance. Jnana karma adhikara. It is only Shankara among the commentators raised this question. Not Ramanuja, not Madhva. He pays attention to the jump that the Upanishad makes. Why? Why is it hasty? He can talk about the evolution of the various animals stage by stage. then talk about the quadrupeds and all that one, then the human being. No. Now, if you want to have a parallel for this idea of the Purusha having this eligibility for knowledge and action, look at T.H. Green. He says that every human being has got the twin capacities, the power of reason and the power of will. Reason and will. Exactly that is what Shankara talks about, Jnana Karma Adhikara. Eligibility for the pursuit of knowledge and eligibility for the performance of deliberate action, conscious deliberate action. Eating, actions such as eating and sleeping and that is not what is meant here. Consciously willed action as a moral person. In my analysis I have given the various specifications what follows when you talk about a person having the twin capacities. The competence for knowledge, the competence for action. This is in the language of Habermas. We have linguistic competence, competence for action. Now there is the subjective analysis. Subjective analysis. Analysis of the human being. Now, a masterly analysis is given in terms of the five sheets or the three bodies. Every human being is a complex entity. That is the body. We have got the vital forces. We have got the indriyas. Indriyas of various kinds. Motor organs and cognitive organs. And then we have got the mind, the antakarana. And beyond antakarana, there is the self. This is a complex entity. So, the Upanishad speaks about five sheets. Five coverings. Kosha. The self is inside. It is inside. That's why we speak about Pratyagatma, the inward self, covered by the intellect of the antakarana. Then you have the senses, finally the body. There is no need to mention, we are not doing a physiological analysis. We are giving only the important points that are required for the purpose of epistemological and metaphysical analysis. One should not say that you are not talking about the blood and the bones and all that is there. Important areas that we specify. Panchakoshas. Or they can speak about three bodies and show the correlation. The outward body, sthula sarira, subtle body, sukshma sarira, and the karana sarira or the causal body. Avidya is a causal body. Causal karana sarira you can put is equal to avidya. Because avidya is responsible for everything, so far as the individual is concerned. So, here in the subjective analysis we have the self or the Atman as the ultimate. In the objective analysis we have Brahman as the ultimate. Now the question is, are there two ultimates, self and Brahman? No, self is identical with Brahman. Self is identical with Brahman. How do you know? Already the Upanishad indicated, tasmat va etasmat atmanah. And if you want more specific statements, they have got the Panch Mahavakyas. Somebody asked yesterday, are the Mahavakyas four or more than four? How to understand the Mahavakyas? Is there any sequence? We can speak about four Mahavakyas or we can speak about more than four, does not matter. Generally we say four. And all the Mahavakyas convey the same idea. Identity of the self and Brahman. Usually we say the identity of the Jiva and Brahman because we talk about the Jiva all the time. And if somebody asks you to give the definition of Jiva, you can say the human being is a Jiva, true. But not only the human being, any living being is a Jiva. Even a mosquito or an ant is a jiva. Now, for the purpose of analysis, what I say is, the jiva, the self in the body is the jiva. The total entity you must take, the self hyphen in hyphen the hyphen body. This is how Heidegger writes, how others write, to show that it is a complex entity, the self in the body. The self alone is not the jiva, the body alone is not the jiva, the body is all the three bodies put together. Sukshma sarira, stola sarira and karna sarira. Plus this self, the self in the body is jiva. Who is Ishvara? Who is Brahman? Brahman in the world. Brahman is manifested in the world. Just as clay is manifested as pot, pan, etc., Brahman is manifested in the world. Brahman in the world is Ishvara. We are adopting a cosmic point of view. We relate Brahman. Even though Brahman is a non-relational, we relate it for the purpose of analysis. Brahman hyphen in hyphen the world. That is Ishvara. What is jiva? The self in the body. And therefore we have to see the equation between the self and Brahman. How? There are Mahavakyas which clearly says that one. And there are four Mahavakyas, let us say. Depending upon the teacher, a sequence can be shown. Depending upon the teacher. They are in different Upanishads. Let us start with the Mahavakya. Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma. Brahman is, prajnana is knowledge, consciousness. Jnana, prajnana, that is the prefix pra. It means it is just pure consciousness. Prajnanam Brahma. But even then it is not clear. Brahman may be prajnana. What does it matter to me? Therefore the teacher says next, I am Atma Brahma. Second Mahavakya. I am Atma Brahma. This self is Brahman. Then this disciple will think, well, the teacher is referring to the self in him because I am Atma. The I am is there. I am Atma. This self is Brahman. Probably his self is Brahman. What does it matter to me? His self may be Brahman. I am concerned with my position. And therefore, we have got the third Mahavakya, Tattvamasi, you are that. Tattva, that reality, Tvam, you, Asi, you are that. So the teacher, realizing the predicament of the student, says, Prajnanam Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, and then he says, Tattvamasi, you are that. And therefore, Tattvamasi is characterized as Upadesha Vakya. He is the Upadesha. You are that. In fact, this occurs in the Chandogya Upanishad where I refer to, 6th chapter. This Tattvamasi Mahavakya, it occurs 9 times in the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter. Somebody asks, why should the Upanishad repeat it 9 times? It is to impress upon the student the importance of the text. My teacher would say, as the train is about to leave the platform, the boy is going there for his higher studies, let us say. He is there on the platform. Train has started moving. All that he has wants to say, he has already said. And then he just moves with the train. What I told you, remember. The boy feels embarrassed, you know, usually, because others are sitting. He goes on repeating, what is this, daddy? How many times he should say? The train has started moving. Still there, son of the, take care, what he told you. Not that it was the intention of the father to embarrass the student. Why should he feel like that? Every parent would do that. He, when he becomes the father of the boy, he would do the same thing.
It is a care of the father or the mother for the boy or the girl. How they care for the boy. Nothing more than that. That understanding is needed in the family. Yeah, here is Dr. Singh. That understanding is needed. In order to impress upon the boy the importance of this Mahavakya, Father Uddalaka tells Svetaketu in the 6th chapter, after giving the assurance, illustrations, and then thesis, Sadeva Somya Idamagra Asitu Yekameva Adhidiyam. That is the thesis. Sadeva Idamagra Asitu. In the beginning, this Sat alone was there, being alone was there. Sat is being, that is what Heidegger says, being, capital B. All the other objects are small b, beings, being and beings. Wonderful. Sadeva, Sadeva Somya. Oh my dear, Sadeva. Idam agre asitu. In the beginning this alone existed. The whole world has manifested from that. You are that. So he repeats it. Tattamasi upadesha vakya. So the purpose of the Upanishad repeating the Mahavakya is to impress upon every one of us the greatness of the Mahavakya, and we should understand the import. And then finally the disciple has got the Anubhava Vakya, Aham Brahmasmi. He articulates that. Usually they won't. If for the benefit of others, the student who has got that benefit, that ultimacy, reached that ultimacy. Yesterday I said that assurance, he has got that assurance. That surety, the sense of assurance, which Janaka had, Abhayam. Therefore, this disciple articulates to the satisfaction of the teacher and his own satisfaction, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. If you understand the Mahavakya, if you arrange it in such a way and then present it, I think that the students will be happy. Anybody who reads that one will be happy. Prajnanam Brahma, Ayam Atma Brahma, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. It is, I think, the teacher should have the methodology of teaching. I got the benefit of a good teacher. And enjoy also teaching. And don't go to the class without that thoroughness, without that sense of enjoyment. Share that. In fact, I used to tell all of your teachers, most of your teachers, it is only when we teach, we forget all our problems. A good teacher will forget all the other problems he may have for that 1 hour. For that 1 hour. He gives the best. The so-called tuition is something kadan for the sake of money. And in a class of 40, even if there are 2 students, the full benefit should go to the 2 students. He forgets in the class. And all his worries will be there the moment he gets into the room. Not until then. If that is not the case, the person concerned is not good enough to be a teacher. If you take teaching as a profession, you must show that commitment, that enjoyment. You get the benefit, you transfer the benefit even to others. Otherwise, don't go to the class. Give up the profession. Either be committed to the profession and then share your expertise with the students. Otherwise, don't. You are killing yourself. You are killing others. This is a way in which one has to understand. Now, I don't go into the details. So, methodology is there. And therefore, in the tradition, we always say, oh, don't talk about Brahman. Brahman can take care of itself. Your problem is existential problem. Start with the problem. Your life. You are in the world. The self in the world. And therefore we have got various other kinds of dialogues. There is a famous Yajnavalkya Maitri dialogue. It will take some more time. I will finish it. Yajnavalkya Maitri dialogue. It is one of the classics that we have. The entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a classic. Every dialogue takes you to some problem.
This is the dialogue between Yajnavalkya and his wife, Maitreyi. I have named my granddaughter Maitreyi, Isha or Maitreyi. Yajnavalkya, the sage, had two wives, Maitreyi and Katyayani. Katyayani is a very good lady. She won't question. She would understand her husband. Not a dull-headed person, doesn't mean like that. You know, sometimes some people are very active and questioning. Some people are passive. We have in the Bible the story of Martha and Mary. One is a busybody, the other is quiet. Usually you find that kind of a contrast. The contrast is here in the family. Not that we have to underrate Katyayani, no, not at all. But this lady is very questioning Maitreyi. And Yajnavalkya came up to them with a proposal. He says, I had led a very, very important life. I had all the benefits which I could have in the court of Janaka. I have so much of cattle, so much of wealth, and I have decided to give up this life and retire for the benefit of my own meditation and all that. So I am going to divide the property between you. Between you means, whenever you use the word between, only two people. English. We, more than two, we should use among. But even that is violated today. That is, just as datum is singular, data is plural. All the scientists, even the writings, they used to use data, plural, singular. Data is, that is grammar for them. Therefore, you find that deliberately some of the basic grammatical principles are violated today. That seems to be the right English usage. So I will divide the property between you, between the two of you. And then Maitreyi asked, why do you want to leave the property? Because what is the point in my having the property? I don't want to have wealth and all that. I would like to go free from all that. It's a kind of a burden. I want to go and have my meditative exercises. Then Maitreyi says, if you think that all that wealth is a burden, unwanted, and therefore to be discarded, what makes you think that it will be useful to us? What is useless to you, do you think it will be useful to me? I don't care for them. She said that personally, I don't worry about Katyayani. Let her decide. I don't care for your wealth. That is the answer that Yajnavalkya expected. He said, exactly this is the answer that I expected. What do you want? I want to know the nature of the self. Then the instruction starts. One of the classics that we have, philosophical classics that we have. Now I give the result. The result is, Yajnavalkya declares, everything in the world is dear, every object is dear. It all depends upon how you understand that one. The things of the world are dear. Then your neighborhood is near, dear to you. You come closer. Your family members are dear to you. Among the family members, you got brother and all that one. Your children are dear to you. Still come closer. Your wife is dear, spouse is dear to you. Husband and wife, spouse. Your spouse is dear to you. But still you can come closer. And then if you come closer that way, then the self is dear to you. Whatever may be the intimacy between the husband and the wife, the wife will be honey, the husband may be honey, dear, this and that. All that is granted. But ultimately, if you go inward, starting from the body, even body becomes a little unimportant. Even though it is dear at one stage, you go inward. If you develop that inwardness, and then you say finally, it is the self that is dear. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. It's a classic declaration. Everything is dear for the sake of the self. Did you not tell that your neighborhood is dear, your country is dear, neighborhood is near, your family members are dear, your children are dear, your wife or husband is dear? Now you say that yes, body is dear. Now you say that everything is dear for the sake of the self. That is the truth. Not that the family is unimportant. Family is dear because it should be conducive to the development of every person. A family in which the parents are not conducive to the development of the children, a family in which the wife is not conducive to the development of the husband and vice versa, that family is not really a healthy family. I talk about a family which is healthy and family which is sick. This is my classification. And here is Dr. Singh. The family should be healthy. And I usually make a comment about the American society. Family, which is the most important social link, is the weakest in the American setup. It has got its repercussion on the entire society. That which should be strong is weak. And therefore, realizing all that, finally, Yajnavalkya makes a declaration, Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. That means, the self that he speaks about is not the narrow self, that egoistic self, that little self. No. It is that self which is identical with Brahman. That is dear. And therefore, we have to make a kind of a subtle psychological analysis. Is it in glorification of the self from the egoistic point of view? No. All that stage is over in analysis. And the self is Brahman. Nothing will satisfy me unless this self at Brahman is reached. That's why we say that the best thing that a person can do every day before we go to bed is to find time, 10 minutes, to be your own self. You must say, as the Americans say, leave me alone for some time. Don't disturb. The children will put the placard when they are playing, don't disturb. Now, the husband or the wife must be able to tell the partner, let me have some time for me. What Tagore calls that surplus in every human being, that is the surplus, that extra thing. That extra thing is the self. You care for it just as you care for everything else. That kind of a caring must be such that it is really helpful to you are caring for your own self. And from that point of view, he makes the declaration, Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. Then what is the discipline? How do we get that? Discipline is indicated in several places. Let me give just one example. Take the opening mantra of the Isavasi Upanishad. Gandhi said, even if the entire Hindu scriptures are damaged, if we can recover this first mantra of the Isavasi Upanishad, we can rebuild the entire Hindu tradition. What a kind of a statement he must have made. Wonderful. Isavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tattena bunjida magrut swanam. The whole world is enveloped by the Lord, Ishvara. That's why he said, Brahman in the world. So if somebody asks you to define what is Ishvara, define God. Brahman in hyphen the hyphen world is Ishvara. Who is Jiva? Self in the body. Where is the Jiva? The Jiva is the world. The Jiva in the world. Jiva hyphen in the world. I call it in my earlier volume, the enworlded subjectivity. I am surrounded by the world. Enworlded, I am subjectivity, the individual. Surrounded by the world. Enveloped by the world. And therefore the first mantra says, Isavasi Upanishad, the Lord dwells in the entire world. Enveloped, he is enveloped
by the entire world. And everything belongs to the Lord. It is His and not yours. That's why even when you offer any flower to the Lord, you must remember what He has given you, you are offering to Him. It may be in your garden, it grows there, you may water it and all that one, but there should be soil, enough soil, proper soil. Given all that, it you get the flower and then you enjoy that one and share that enjoyment with the Lord, offer it to the Lord as a prasada. Everything is the Lord's. This idea that the Visishtadvaita tradition brings out wonderfully. Sarira-sarira relation. Each acharya has contributed significantly to the fabric of the Indian tradition. Each from their own perspective. Don't covet the wealth of anybody. You can work out a kind of a wonderful ethics, meaningful ethics on the basis of this one verse. And the kind of, we have to have a kind of an active life in the world and also a life of contemplation. The Upanishad itself says, what is that is worthy of knowing? Once again, Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya tells Janaka, Maitreyi and others, Atma va are drashtavyaha. The self is to be seen. It is to be seen. Seeing is a direct experience. It is to be realized. I got direct experience of the chair, the table, this rostrum. Atma va are drashtavyaha. It is in the form of an injunction.